Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom, Rabbi.
This is Rabbi Shlomo Levy, and I'm honored today to Leah Yohanatan, a very distinguished woman in our community. And she's going to tell us a little bit of her life. We're here at the Historic Commandment Keepers Congregation in Harlem, New York. And it is November 7th, year 2000. Thank you for being here. And you are a woman of valor in our community. And to be able to commit to history, some of your life experiences is really a treasure. By telling us when and where you were born.
Okay, of course I was born in the United States of America. I was actually born in Lawrenceburg, North Carolina, mainly by accident because my mother had traveled to the Southern States Coast and born. She really have stayed in the New York area, but she wanted to go south, and that's when I was born. In fact, I'm just 1 month away from my birthday, which will be December 7th, so that poses a great adventure in my life. Yeah, close-knitted family, and there were many of us. My parents had six boys, two girls, and my mother always used to say, since we were outnumbered from the male factor, that us women have to stick together. So I came up in a really good family, sort of basically home, where prayers was always taught. At the dinner table, you never ate before saying prayers. You never went to bed before saying those prayers. And when you woke up, you said those prayers. So it's an extension of a very clever life. And today, I'm very happy for that, because it led my way into being very active in our great community. I attended schools, of course, in the New York area, particularly in the Brooklyn area.
When did your family move to New York?
New York. When I was born, they just went back for a vacation. My parents came to New York in, I guess, the year 1923.
Mm-hmm. And you were born?
And I was born in 1926.
26.
So that's a long time.
So they were really in New York.
They were really in New York. And actually grew up in New York.
In New York.
Yes.
New York.
Yes. I attended schools in the New York area, particularly in the Brooklyn area. High school in Brooklyn, New York, at that time it was called Girls Commercial High School, where I graduated from. And then went to New York University School of Commerce, taking a business course, and went on to further studies in various institutions. I also studied the religious life, or Hebraic studies came a little later in life. But prior to that, I studied the various religions, the great religious background came that. My father was very active in the religious world, particularly in his house of worship. He was to attend the school for natural world, but to have a strong biblical education. That was a necessity for the superintendent of school, and not secular school, but the religious school.
What religious school was that?
Yes, he was connected with the Antioch Tabernacle School. Mm-hmm. Religious school. It goes back in 1923, 1924, 1925, 1926.
What denomination was that in?
Yes, that was the religion, because out of that they believed strongly in the Old Testament, the Old Testament believers, so that strong, you know, background came up in us. And as we grew, of course, the congregation changed. Some went strictly, those of us who were strongly and the Old Testament went into the Old Testament basis, ultimately became the Hebraic way of life. So that's how we came to that. I studied under various teachers of high standing. I studied with like Wilkins at that time, who was the professor at the New School of Research, because that's what it's called now. I also studied religious topics, studies at various other, you know, religious institutions. And my main course in life was in the different religions of the world. And as I studied, I saw how very, very much the black, now I don't want to use the word black, but I want to say the African American, which they use today, was so close related to the ancient world. In the year, I think it was 1950, we were married in Nakata by Yohanatan.
When you say we, who?
Okay. Now I've got to, I'm going
I know what you're talking about.
You know I'm talking about Rabbi
Yohanatan.
We were
when and how did you meet?
At a youth conference. We were at a youth conference that belonged at that time to a singing group and we were called, I forgot the name of the group now, but we all sang, and that's where I met Rabbi Yohanan. We were at a gathering, although I like the way she sings, so if you wanted to meet this person who sang, of course that person was me. Sure did me. At first I thought, oh, well, just a meeting, you know, a young man wanting to meet someone who could sing. But then, of course, it developed and eventually we did get married in 1950. And that went on. Eventually, I began to study the Hebrew language under one of the teachers that studied under the late Rabbi W. Matthews, and also Mother Yehudit, who was an expert in the language of Yehudit, come under all Matthews of the commandment of the Hebrew congregation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my teacher instructed at that time was the house of Yahanfit. He was very fluent in Hebrew, and I was her first student. And leading up to coming under the teachers,
these women teachers.
Yes, these women teachers were met at conferences. We met conferences. I attended a lot of conferences.
Religious conferences.
Yes, religious conferences. That was always the thing. Mm-hmm. Religious conferences. Conference, you know, representing the youth mm-hmm. of our community, men of my knowledge and professional women in their field, and. One person in particular was at that conference, and that was Kathy Johansson. And eventually,
her name began to screw me.
Yes,
Maria
English name was a great thing. Maria Kathy Johansson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got the deep book, you know.
Mm-hmm. She is the person who sure. invited you to come to them and keep us for the first time.
And, yeah, she was the one who invited me the first time to come to Commander Secrets. And in 1951 in that area, and I've been in that this community, I would say, for all those years, mm-hmm. growing up under the late W. Wentworth A. Matthews, in at that time it was a rabbinical college, which was not the Israelite rabbinical
right.
college.
Ethiopian Hebrew
rabbinical college. Right. That's right. It was 7 years because it was an evening course. It was 7 years of training, very deep training, and eventually graduating from that. Also being, I guess you would call it, an anointing by the Lipsic Rabbi as a revivalist in the house of Isaac to revive the nation, bring them back to the true knowledge of our God.
Mm. Yeah. Now, in these early experiences, both at the New York University mm-hmm. in your education and with your other siblings, were there many other people, women of color, pursuing degrees in the areas that you were teaching that you were in? And how did you feel?
Yes, there were women of color. It was very difficult in those days, because I think in the early 30s, 40s, I came to college in 45 or 60, because I graduated from high school in 1944, and then went to school. At that time, you did not have as many college level as you have today, because the opportunity today is greater. And we were in the pioneer years of bringing our women more exposure for a higher education. And at many times, even I was discouraged from even taking the kind of course. I remember one of the teachers saying to my father in high school that he would be doing me an injustice, put me in a commercial class because there would not be jobs for, you know, mm-hmm. black women. That's what he really said at that time. But of course, you and also being a family of strong structure, knowing our history, only gave us the interest to go even further, knowing that one day that the women, particularly the women of color, would be in the force.
And did all your men brought the same force, or did you excel?
Yes, no, my brothers went into different fields. Mm-hmm. Some of them went into the service, and others took different courses. Electrical work that were electricity and went into construction engineers, so they also had a very full, mm-hmm. you know, education background.
So you would say your parents encouraged you equally male and female?
Right, equally male and female. Equally, they encouraged the female as well as the male.
Always stayed
you need an educated mother to guide the children, because we always say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world also. So if your mother was educated, the children would be much better educated, they would have a better family structure, you know, and this is how I'm very focused on it, and also wanting everyone to have a better education.
And you were influenced by a lot of female teachers at these conferences, yeah, and other places. Did that influence you or shape you in some way, seeing women in, yes, roles of, yeah, respect?
Exactly. That's a good influence. And not only that, studying the great women of our Torah, great women of the Bible, how they also were instrumental in saving the house of Israel, you know, just all of the great women that were mentioned in the story, in the Bible, that give me this feeling, mm-hmm, that we are a great people.
Now, as the women in the Hebrew community, mm-hmm, Mother Johnson, mm-hmm, Mother Judith, mm-hmm, as they instructed you, and even more than Old Testament teaching, mm-hmm, and then ultimately the current understanding that you have as a Hebrew Israelite, how did your father react or feel about that interpretation of Scripture? I mean, how did you, mm-hmm, explain it to him,
okay,
and your mother, and, mm-hmm, how did they react?
Explain it to my father, because he understood, because he knew I was always a person searching and studying religion, so he knew that was it. But he always said that we were spiritual Jews, or spiritual Hebrews, because we were the ancient people of the Bible. So that didn't, it wasn't foreign for him. In fact, I think he encouraged that, because his last days on earth, he was very much into our congregation, always attending our services, and saying to the rabbi at that time, because he sat under him, you know, that I was doing great work, to be there on time for the service, and when everyone comes in late, they want to know why you're so late, the service began at 10. So he was a little more strict than rabbi was. But no, he was not against, because he felt as long as you were worshiping God, the creator of the universe, he wasn't really opposed.
But he respected you.
He did respect, yes, very much so, yes. And also our mother respected that, because they were people of a spiritual background. And if their children could develop themselves on a spiritual way, that they were no longer able to be good for
Now, in the Ethiopian Hebrew Medical College, mm-hmm, at that time, were there many other women as students?
There were a few. In the beginning, after I attended, there were two others besides myself.
Do you remember who they were?
At this time, I was passive. I know Maria Rose came up a little later. Mm-hmm. She was in the class. I think I was 2 years advanced before she came into the class. Yeah, another professor who also studied along with us, I also don't know her name right now, but there was another that came up at the same time that I did.
And what were the courses? What were the courses like?
Basically, we studied the Bible and all its contents, and then also Torah, commentary, subject that would lead to the knowledge of the House of Israel, mm-hmm, not just for a perspective, also other books that would emphasize and also give great credit to the writing, mm-hmm, of the books that we studied. And some say we didn't study Talmud, and we did study. So we studied the ethics of all this, things like that. We studied other languages. We had a good bit of Greek, because we had to interpret some of the works that we would study that, in order to get a deeper understanding of how the religions tied in together, and their influence, or some great influence on other nations.
And you said it's many met in the evening?
Yes, courses, because many of us work, and we could not work for the daytime. Of course, we didn't have the luxury of having as many different grants and things offered to us in those days as it especially the males that came out of service, were given the opportunity to go to school and get a higher education, so they would have, you know, more funds towards getting a better education. In other words, even the secular phases of my education was done mainly in the evening setting because of working during the day. And where did you work? Now, I went into the federal government. I went in, I came out of high school. I wasn't quite sure. So I had to get my parents' permission to go to work. I began in the federal government, and I worked for military intelligence. I worked at many areas of federal government. In fact, I have 29 years of federal service in the field, and also a number of years, about 6 or 7 years in the state. During my stay in federal service, I worked at agencies where I did interagency coordination. I've worked in various entities of the government, which was Treasury Department. So my background really is federal employment, a career employee, a very deep knowledge. In fact, when I was in the Fort Worth government, and I was in the region too, we had the responsibility for Puerto Rico, New Jersey, so it was not really just Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, New York. But there gave me opportunity to go to other areas within that region, you know, and the conference or something like that. Sure. I grew up, I would say the grassroots, because I started in clerical field and worked my way up. Also into it.
Now you were married, working outside the home, and going to school, and the days and evenings sometimes. Was that unusual for you?
No, it wasn't unusual. It wasn't unusual for many of us because that was the way we had to do it. Say, 50s and 60s, you know, after we had the civil rights movement, of course, many other areas were opened up where many could go during the day and complete your studies on that particular page. But in the days before that civil rights movement, disadvantage came up because we had to go more, mainly because you could not afford. Of course, there were schools who had, you could go where you would not have to pay as much as you would if you weren't going, you know.
Now, in the Ethiopian Medical College at the time, there were other women and women on faculty teaching different courses. Did Rabbi Matthews give men and women the same degree?
No. Even going to school with teachers. And there were those who were inspired, more students inspired into what ordained them as revivalists. And I may be at this moment the only revivalist that was ordained by him living today.
How did you feel or other women feel about the roles that they were given in terms of as teachers and revivalists and not as rabbis?
Well, we do not rabbi belong to us because we are teaching with that more of the rabbinate as a part of the Levitical priesthood. And in the Levitical priesthood, there were no females. So we took the role of teachers as being a great honor for us. Where we did women's lib and all, you know, the new progressive methods within the area of women. But we did not feel that it was giving meaning to be a teacher. In fact, that was a great experience. And we developed that treatment. And in order to teach, we were going to build a better community. We were going to build a better spiritual body of people because we were the women who had the inspiration to teach. We had the title behind us to teach, and we went further in our work. Teaching from a spiritual sense or religious sense also went into the teaching field, you know, in the secular field. So, no, we did not feel, and we did not at that time want to be rabbis because we felt that belonged to the religious sense. Today you have women who feel that women should be rabbis, not so much in the Hebrew Israelite community or in the Black Hebrew community, but you find a lot of that in the Black Hebrew.
What do you think about that?
Thank you for that, because I feel, well, maybe because my background is strongly structured on that, the ancient Torah teaching. Maybe that's why I feel that way. I feel that women, not necessarily to be rabbis, but they might have a different opinion of that. Because of a certain period in a woman's life, if she would be married. Not necessarily the things of the entire community.
Your medical college, were you involved in other auxiliaries, the organizations, the committees within the congregation?
Yes, within the congregation, though, of course, the women's auxiliary to the Hebrew council came with the council. But prior to that, yes, we had the sisterhood members in our various congregations, and I belong to congregations, not congregations, but groups outside. For a small time, I was part of the Haddad community, and we worked with the Haddad, then I worked with the school.
I want to hear about that, particularly the Hadassah movement, but particularly I think Commandment Keepers, I believe they had an organization called the Well Order.
Yes.
And the Ethiopian Hebrew.
Right.
What was that?
Well, the Ethiopian Hebrew sons and daughters culture. It was a paternal organization. It's similar to any other paternal organization, like what we have in your family. Among the men, the mates in chronic order. And there were the daughters of Israel that belonged to part of that fraternal organization. In many areas, they were called the secret organization, but it's only secret to those who are not inside of the organization, of course. Things that are taught in that fraternal
organization. How did one get into the World War? So you have the congregation commandment keepers.
Yes.
And one could be a member of the congregation.
Right. But not necessarily a member of,
yes.
of the World War.
Yes,
it was through selection.
Yes.
It was through selection, and the character of the individuals was taken into consideration, their devotion to their community was taken into consideration. So, they played a high part in that selection. They were very selective of who went into the program. Sons and daughters of culture, mainly selected by those who are higher, and that you would have to be recommended by one who is already in the office.
And what could you reveal or tell us about the type of things you would do within the order, the type of things you would study or ceremonies that would take place in that?
We were taught, if there was a person that passed in the order, of course, there were certain things we would do. You know, we would see also, we were a part of what we would call a Hebrew tradition today, to see that when one had passed with that in the order, there were certain rites that went with that. We were, we felt we were the persons who had to instruct. If I was a daughter of the House of Israel, that I would all know that House of Israel, I would have to be emulating this within our congregation to others, that I would have to set that example as a member of the Royal Order, sons and daughters of culture, and as a daughter or mother now, I would be responsible for seeing the spiritual development in the women and the daughters in the congregation. And eventually it would make a good representative for our order when we would approach them, and they would be recommended. Of course, they would have to go through certain initiations, you know, to prove they were the person or the individual that could be in that society.
Integrated with men and women,
yes,
involved with that.
Yeah.
You mentioned the sisterhood. What kind of things were the sisterhood responsible for?
Yes, the sisterhood was responsible for making sure that the sanctuary, but our temples were kept in good order. The sisterhood would be responsible for promoting a fundraising activity so that the community would be viable as far as being able to keep our buildings, etc. The sisterhood would be responsible in other congregations, but we tried to see that every congregation had a sisterhood. And we would also attend conferences or conventions situated around the women there. Situations that affected women in our community. We would also, you know, conferences, and even as the Women's Council, we would do that also in the community at large, not necessarily the great community. representative in the community as people, women, and out the royal order, or the various people within the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the Hadassah thing, which is an organization of primarily European Jewish women.
Well, the experience there was because we, our children attended a community where it really was missing. We were in the Queens Laurelton area, mm-hmm. and where we became honorary members of the Hadassah because we were on their fundraiser and on it, at times lectured to the Hadassah women, the pioneer women of America. I would be on lecture tours, lecturing to various women organizations. So that there was that honorary membership there with them, and we did have our community, women of our community, women who were members, active full-fledged members of the Hadassah group.
Do you remember where they were?
Yes, they were in Morrison, and I think it was Rabbi McCloud. Children went to school with our children in the Laurelton area.
And the congregation, is that the Laurelton
Center? Yes. And within that whole area, there, very active.
And how were you received as a grappling with in this community at the Hadassah gathering?
Very well received. Very well received because our children were then involved because they were attending their school. And we were active with their community also. We were active, very active with the schools, because with their major fundraiser, we were a part of that because our children at that time were getting scholarships in order to get the scholarships so that our children would get that dual education, Hebrew education as well as secular. And we were very active with them, making sure that there was enough finance to merit them continuing in that vein.
Day schools,
we were day school kids, and a few of them were in the community, but our children were mainly in the day school. The day school comprised mostly the conservative concept of Judaism, whereas the yeshiva were more of the orthodox concept, and then you have some reform, mainly of the solid check concept, which is conservative, and some of them came out of the yeshiva, which was the orthodox church. We're instrumental in getting many of our students from the Hebrew community into the Hebrew day school. Mm-hmm. Many of them on the older years going to schools where an issue or a problem came up. I was there to address the needs of that and to make sure that our children were not being mentally deprived.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, the tendency of Hebrew day school was to include them and say that they were not going to be hospitalized in that school, that they were going to be well respected in that school, and I remember at one occasion in the Ethiopian, there was this terrible starvation going on. The students there at that time made a remark to one of our students saying, "You're like the Ethiopian beginnings," but you know, they make some remark like that. Mm-hmm. I did not stop the child say that. I went to the headmaster of the school. And I said to the headmaster of the school, "I want to see him. It's a very urgent thing. It seems very minor, but it's a very urgent thing because now you're playing with the mental faculty. Mm-hmm. It's incumbent upon you and the staff to make sure that every child in this institution knows the plight of our students, you know, coming from a country that's devastated because of that. As you would also want each student in here to remember the Holocaust, and they're well taught about that. So it's incumbent upon you and the staff to make sure that the students understand the sense of purity in which part of the Holocaust is."
Hmm. And what
schools in our eastern area of Long Island, this was Ron Cedar Hershey, in there, Collins, Texas, in that area. And then later on, also, some of them went through the wedding system in White Plains. So there was this continuity of them getting education. And then finally, after graduating, going into institutions of higher learning, where they go.
Did you ever have a problem into the schools about being accepted or questions about the Jewishness?
Very, no. I can only remember one occasion. But no, because many of the headmasters of the school knew of Rabbi Manasseh and his work. And he knew also of the Ethiopian Hebrew community, that community, because many of them had visited our congregation and they knew about her, so that I really didn't have a problem. Mm-hmm. Just that going in there, most of our children already had a background in Hebrew language, but they started in the Keder. Mm-hmm. We all had Keder. These are classes where the children come after if they needed help in reading or in arithmetic and reading, this would be given to them. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had a Keder, or Talmud, or if you want to call it children. They might come and get help for their Hebrew lessons if they needed that, and get help for their secular studies if they needed around it. And they also saw that our children had the development for being good students in that school, which helped really the school itself. So we really didn't have a problem, with the exception of one. There was one came into the school with a Hebrew background, but they had come out of another religious setting. And that had somewhat influenced their way of behavior in the school, and they did not want to accept a child at that time because of this previous under a different religious that came out of the different school.
How did the children themselves feel about being in the school they attended?
They had no problem because many of them started the school in that setting. So they were convinced that, and in many instances they might have been the only one in their class, but they got along with the students. In fact, I could say, and one of the students, and I could say it under the name of my niece, they considered her to have head of the class. So when she came to school, she came into the room, and I brought her in there, and all the students stood up and clapped, and they no longer paid attention to what the teacher said. They were looking at Deborah. Now she was back. So the teacher wrote a note to my sister saying, you know, it would be nice if you told the boy that I'm going to say they have a problem.
You mentioned the boy. Do you remember the student's name? Some of the other students you remember who attended the school?
Many of the other children in the Lawrenson students did, yes. I can't remember my friends now, but they were in there. We had many of them. We had those that came from the St. Albans. The children's name I don't remember now, but Joseph, their children were in that school. Mordecai Joseph's children were in that school. And we had, who else? I remember them. Hawkins, his son was in the school. Sure, he was coming from St. Albans, Chamber Heights, Lawrenson area.
Now, with the were these efforts connected with, or were they similar or separate? Did you have any involvement
with the HaRishon? Yes, the HaRishon mainly was connected with the congregation in the Bronx, and that's Mount Horeb. Mm-hmm. But yeah, many of the children did participate with them. Mm-hmm. Of course, our children too much because on a Shabbat they would go on trips and we sort of discouraged that. Mm-hmm. But no, the HaRishon did bring on a good relationship with the younger members of our community.
What was your HaRishon before you conclude? How it came about, how it functioned, and people involved with it?
Well, the people involved with it were members of our community too, and mainly from the Mount Horeb focus of the Hunter HaRishon. And they worked with the children, getting them into the summer camps, involved with summer camps, which was good. Mainly with the summer camps, and some of them perhaps going to the school system too. But mainly our children were not that one particular congregation. In our community, mainly, we had our own activities in our community, and our congregation was located in the St. Albans area. School activities, because we had the basketball classes and tournaments with our youth. We had tennis for the girls. We had of special programs in our community. We participated in one of the largest feeding programs, special feeding programs, some of the feeding programs in the Southern Queens area. We were sponsored in the Queens area in the summer food program. And we were our own sponsors. Mm-hmm. And we had, in fact, the director over in our congregation had responsibility for over 63 sites. And we had a budget of over $500,000. So that we had gone for many years. We had a major fundraising program to address the needs of our congregation. We did run a bingo, which was a major fundraiser. And I think we would only lack maybe Hebrew congregation or organization that was their own major fundraising activity. Mm-hmm. We were involved in that. We're involved in programs within our community which gain employment, you know, for many youth. We had a youth employment program, which we got many of the youth off the street in the summertime. They were involved and kept very busy because we felt if we kept them busy, this was a way of deterring them against getting into any kind of, you know, after school activities that weren't good for them. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we were involved in quite a bit. We also served on the committee, making sure that all the families who were in need at Passover time received the Passover. We did extensive traveling. We traveled all over with the Professor Bill Matthews, some lectures, speaking out of the Canada and abroad, lecturing on the relationship of the Black people, with the Hebrew, the lack of Hebrew, to world Jews. Mm. And that we did for many years, telling the story of our relationship. People of the book, you have the people of the book, people of Hebrew. And this is the story that we tell you. Of course, today, we have many other organizations that are now on the scene. We have the Rabbinic Kol Academy. Hanukkah and myself have been doing teaching and bringing to where it's fine. We have also the Ethiopian Hebrew Rabbinic Council. We also have the seminary. We have the council that will address the needs and the concerns and the issues and concerns that appear and develop in our community and its relationship to the community at large.
I want you to talk more about those two, the council and the Israeli Rabbinical Academy. You just described were part of a congregation that you and Allison founded called Beth Hapatila. I think you mentioned that briefly in passing, but I wanted to go into a little bit of history of Beth Hapatila, and that was the ordination of your husband. So you mentioned that you met earlier. You both came to Islamic Hebrew at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you met Mother Johnson, she invited you, and then you invited
the rabbi.
Who would be the
My husband would be on the rabbi.
Tell us a little bit about that process.
Yes, because we both attended the school together. We both studied under the leadership of Matthew Bendix in the college, and that's it, the medical college, and then graduated. After graduating, we remained here for a while. Because
so you,
after graduating,
first time you invited him to come after I'd come,
right?
And you liked what you saw.
Okay.
And then, were you married at that time yet?
Yes, we
you
were married.
Already married.
We were already married.
The synagogue. What was his reaction?
His reaction at first was he would bring me, and then he'd go home and come back and pick me up again. Mm-hmm. And I said, while you're doing all that, you might as well come and listen to the sermon. Mm-hmm. And he did that. Shabbat. He liked it, and he said, to become the rabbi. After 7 years together.
You were in the area at the same time?
At the same time, yes. Mm-hmm. At the same time. But he also had further study as a rabbi. Mm-hmm. The rabbi, the rabbi, then perhaps the teacher, and not only private studies at the space with the rabbi. Mm-hmm. Right. But yes, and as a result of that, the Beth Hapatila, Ethiopian Hebrew congregation, came into being. I think it was in the year 1973. Yes, 1973. Yes, and the...
And how did you come about the idea for
that?
He was ordained, I guess.
Yes, he was. The first, in Rabbi Matthew's time, first it was the graduate, later you were ordained. Mm-hmm. So after the ordination, perhaps maybe 1 year after the ordination, maybe a couple years after the ordination, it was, the need was to have a congregation in the Queens area, because we lived in the Queens area. There were many families in the Queens area. Mm-hmm. And so the option came into being. And the congregation had its beginnings in our home in Chamber Heights, and that's where we first established the congregation.
Tell us about that. I'm going to have to turn the tape in just a minute and see it's recording paper.
Right.
But how did you get... Yes, so we were just getting to the founding of the Hakatula.
Yes, the Hakatula was founded. There were 10 families that began.
So some of the founding families?
Some of the families were the Christian family. Of course, the Yohanitan family, the Christian family, the Smith family, Johnson family. There were 10 families. The Carter family.
And you first started meeting in your home.
Mm-hmm. And then we felt the need to make churches for children. And the building really was found by Christian and myself. We were walking along Boulevard here, and we saw this building, and we felt it was just a beautiful picture. Put them all in the leaves there, and we just envisioned how it would look. Mm-hmm. And we came back, and we got the numbers in, and we contacted the person to sell the building, and that's how we got the building. We could purchase that building, mm-hmm. and made it into a beautiful upstairs, we had the study of the sanctuary, the library, the museum. Idea for our community, and that's where we also ran our special program in the community. Mm-hmm. This is in the even St. Albans, all from 1973. That has been in the
community. So maybe it was the other one, Matthew, that passed away.
He started before. He was ill at the time. We didn't stop that. He was ill, was not able to attend that year.
I mentioned that you put students to many of women's groups and traveled with Matthew.
Yes.
What was your relationship to Rabbi Matthew in your role in assisting and helping?
At that time, I was the secretary to the congregation, and I was also answering, doing most of his work when he was requested. He was on a lecture bureau, and he had many lectures, and his biographical sketch would have to be sent out. I would just, do all the necessary work that was concerned. And also, responsible also to see that everything governing the synagogue is intact. Our temple would run as second to none as far as order was concerned.
You feel about the starting of the congregation?
At that time he was elated over the fact that there was another congregation, and he was not able to attend because at that time he was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. He was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. But many of the members of the congregation came, and they went back and they told him they were very happy that he was able to rest another when it was their hospital. Named after the first death of the theater of my continued with that name as a branch and this first
day. The Internet people have done a lot of the work under the death of the theater. You worked with Ashkenazi European congregations and rabbis. You just mentioned briefly some of the congregations and rabbis you've worked with over the years and you had relationships with.
Very close friends to Rabbi Yohanan. Yes, he really was with the New Jersey congregation, but they would often attend the Sephardic conferences together, congregation, getting the Torah, which was the effort that we were in, getting a beautiful sacred Torah into that. so we worked with the various rabbis in the Queens area, especially because we were involved with the schools from the Lawrence and the Center. We knew all of the rabbis. We had a good working relationship with most of the rabbis in the Queens area. And also by lecturing, we became more knowledgeable than many rabbis. It was a more difficult task penetrating the Orthodox community than with the conservative and the reform. But then eventually the Orthodox community began to accept many of our students that we related to them that wanted the Orthodox study, because Johnson, who's an Orthodox, and we were continuing to get into that Orthodox study. So that then we were beginning to get the, you know, the good working relationship with the entire community. Not saying that all of those, you know, people who bring to the contest to take in this step to show that our students were and could learn as well as any other, and we were going to be very capable students in every school within access to them. And when did you move the congregation to Melbourne?
We moved to Mount Vernon in, I think it was 1978.
And there, because they had at that time established our, you know, living quarters there, and we had ample space to house a congregation and the means to be there. And there also developed another congregation under the auspices of the Council and by Johannesburg. So that community there began to grow. The Hebrews, and at that time living quarters of them, become very much in the post there.
And with these congregations, your role then became not only as a teacher, which you had been made under Rabbi Matthew, but now you were the rabbi of the congregation. What is the role of a rabbi in the congregation?
The rabbi is really the wife of a rabbi. But as the wife of a rabbi, she must also maintain a certain stability in her community. She must also be she must know all the tenets of our way of life that governs women and how to be strong. So she becomes the strong arm to the rabbi and to the congregation. And her whole purpose is to build that congregation, to build that community of the congregation, so that the women of our congregation and our community expand so we can show this. And in fact, we should be the light of the community, we feel that we should be the principles in everything we do, as to more activation.
So the role of the rabbi, is it simply an honorary role that she is by marriage related to the rabbi, or does she have activities within the congregation?
Oh, she has an active role, and in many instances, a voice. Most of the rabbis, the wives of the rabbis, are women also by character. Since they step to the rabbi, many of the women of the congregation, or if they will not approach the rabbi, they will go to the rabbis. And so they feel if they go to the rabbis, they will also reach the rabbi, if they have that to go to the rabbi. But the wife of the rabbi should be one who will stand very strong in the community, and not necessarily that she would get on with numerous form, but that she must be there for that structure if she needs it to keep that congregation in full balance of Shalom.
So within the Israelite community, it is very vocal, visible,
very
strong,
vocal.
And respected individual. One of the most respected individuals in the congregation
should be one of them. And there are mothers in the congregation too, take on the mother role, because as she progresses in age, automatically she will be not only the wife of the rabbi, but in many instances she becomes the mother of the congregation if they don't, you know, address another as mother of the congregation. But she and Ebony will always, by reason of age, and also if she will always be the, I don't like to say number one, but that's really what it amounts to, the number one person in the congregation of female children. She should always be in the forefront as well as in the congregation. And if not, try to devise a way to mean by calling a meeting with the women of the congregation if they need to be, if it could be addressed among women, mm-hmm. then she could be made a part of that, to see that the, you know, the people.
Find out, I know there's so much more to talk about, but we talk a lot about your role within mm-hmm. the community mm-hmm. and the high respect that mm-hmm. people have for that. Mm-hmm. How did your friends and neighbors outside the community, co-workers, mm-hmm. How did they react to you as a Black woman in Jewish faith?
Very, very well. Because many of them would come to me, and I sort of became a role model in their eyes too. Because if they hadn't turned me, they would come to me because I was a vocal person or fighting for the rights of women. And so they do, they can come to me. I sit on many advisory boards. I work in our community. I sit on advisory boards governing here. I sit on advisory boards at the national.
You've been involved with for a long time.
Yes, I've been involved with the family here program for many years, and I sit on a commissioner's advisory board at the state of New York. I also sit on advisory adult family organizations in the United States of America. I also sit on local boards, and I'm also president of local chapters of a national board. So that my involvement in the secular world is very critical. And I just completed a lecture at a conference, a national conference, which took place in Philadelphia, and I spoke on ethnic diversity, mm-hmm. you know, the difference between the ethnic groups as it involved our work. Knowing that if the so-called minority are becoming the majority in our country, that perhaps in the year 2005, and this has been later statistics, that in the year 2005, only 55% of us, you know, mm-hmm. had the other percentage of these people of Black people. So that to know ethnic diversity is a very high concern mm-hmm. as women, mothers, but also as people of color, and eventually in our society.
How long have you been in 2009? How long have you been involved in children care, foster care? I know that you've been very active in adoption of usually departed children. Yeah. How long would you say
in the care programs? And also recruiting other families into children. And also outreach, because there are many in our community, and I'm saying our community, you know, the African American community, who have not been reached through prisons and individuals who need this help, who come under some, just so that they can get the necessary help that they need.
When you interact with people in those fields, if you are in the Jewish faith, how did they react, both to Black people who are Jewish? What has been kind of your
favorite? Yeah. Very well. Because they're always asking for Mrs. Johannesson to the free step of the time. As there's an issue and a concern. They would ask, what do you mention my name? I just say what I know. Because I'm always there trying to help save the program, mm-hmm. make it viable in our community, see that the necessary resources are there, that they may do it themselves, and that we need to do some research, might be well served.
And so you heard of there's been a great conflict to the sense that of being Black and being Jewish. And so you've been asked that many times before.
But it's, no, I have not found this to be a conflict because now I think the fact that there are two authentic Black Jews in our nation and the world, and that we have meant to marry them continually in that vein.
Day schools,
day schools, there were day schools. Mm-hmm. There were many of them, and they were in the day schools. Mm-hmm. The day schools comprised mostly the conservative concept of religion, whereas the yeshiva were more of the orthodox concept. And then we had some reforms, mainly our children came up under the involved sect concept. Some of them came out of the yeshiva, which was the orthodox concept. I were instrumental in getting me many of our the Hebrew day schools, where I became the mentor for many of them on the overseas, going to the schools where the initial problem setting up. I was there to address the needs of that and to make sure that our children were not doing
Can you elaborate?
Yes, that if our children attended the Hebrew bakery or Jewish bakery, that they were not going to be outside in that school, that they were going to be more expected in that school. And I remember on one occasion in the terrible starvation that was in Ethiopia, and one of the students there at that time, they were not to one of our students to say, you're like in Ethiopia, and he said, you know, they make some remark like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not stop the child say that I went to, and I said to the headmaster of the school, I want to be in. It's a very urgent thing. It seems very minor, but it's a very urgent thing. But now you're playing with the mental faculty of our students. And I said, it's incumbent upon you and the staff to make sure that every student knows twice of our students, you know, coming from a country that's devastated because of starvation, as you would also want each student in here to remember about that. So it's incumbent upon you and this staff to make sure that the students understand the country's security of this
country. And what schools were these?
Okay, these were schools in our eastern area, this was Lawrence Peter in there, in that area, and then later on also some of them went to the Westchester, Solomon-Chester school system in White Plains, so there was this constant. And then finally, after graduating, going into institutions of higher learning, they were able to go.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have problems getting students into the schools without being accepted or questions about the Jewish name?
Remember one occasion, but no, because many of the headmasters of the school knew of the master of his work, and he knew also of the Ethiopian Hebrew community, and he represented that community because many of them had visited our congregation, and they didn't have a problem, just that going in there, most of our children already had the background of Hebrew language, but they started in the Hebrew. The girls at Teddy, if you can class it, the children come after school and learn Hebrew, and if they needed help in reading or English, they can read English. So we had a Teddy or Thomas, or if you want to call it that, afternoon class for our children. They might come and get help for their Hebrew lessons if they needed that, or get help for their secular studies if they needed it, so that they were well-rounded and they had the development for being good students in that school.
Mm-hmm.
It helped really to yourself. So we really didn't have a problem. With the exception of one, there was one case where I tried to get into the school. It had come out of another religious setting, and that had somewhat influenced their way of behavior in the school, and they did not want to accept the child at that time because of this previous background and what they had learned.
How did the children themselves feel about being in the school?
They had no problem because many of them started school in that way. So they were conditioned to it. They knew that and they won in their class, but they got along with the students. In fact, I could say, and one of the students, and I could say, I'm sure he said, my niece, they considered her to have head of class, so when she was absent, everybody was sort of down, and when she came to school, and I brought her in, then all the students stood up and clapped, and they no longer paid attention to what the teacher said. They were looking at Deborah, now she was back. So the teacher wrote a note to my sister saying, you know, it would be nice if you tell Deborah that I am the teacher of the class, and she would say they have a strong boy.
Do you remember the student's name, some of the other students you remember, who attended the school?
Many of the other, the Larson students did, yes, I can't remember last names now, but they were in there. We had many of them. We had those that came from the St. Albans area, like they were in the Joseph their children were in that school, Mordecai Joseph's children were in that school, and yes, who else? I remember them. So the Hawkins, his son was in that school, sure. Mm-hmm. We've got many schools from coming from the St. Albans area.
Mm-hmm. 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 Now, with the, were these efforts connected with the Hatha Adishan movement, or were they similar or separate?
The Hatha Adishan mainly was connected with the congregation in the Bronx in Mount Horeb. Mm-hmm. But yeah, many of the children did participate with them. Mm-hmm. We did not encourage our children too much because on Christian we sort of discouraged that. Mm-hmm. But no, the Hatha Adishan did bring on a good relationship with the younger members of our community.
What was your recollections of that? How it came about, how it functioned, the people involved with it?
Well, the people involved with it were members of our community too, and mainly from the Mount Forest congregation. They were the main focus of the Hatha Adishan, children getting them into the summer camps, involved with summer camps, which is good, mainly with the summer camps. And some of them perhaps going to use schools to come to the day schools. But mainly our children were not a full part of it, you know. That one particular thing. In our community, mainly, we had our own activities in our community. When our congregation was located in St. Albans area, we had our own after-school activities because we had the basket classes and tournaments with our youth. We had tennis for the girls. We had, of course, Hebrew classes. We did a lot of special programs in our community. In fact, our congregation, still participated in one of the largest programs, some of these programs, in the South and East Queens area. We were sponsored in the Queens area in the summer food program. One of the top three organizations we were our own impact. The director over in our congregation had responsibility for over 63 sites. And we had a budget of over half a million dollars. So that we had a very viable program going on for many years. We had a major fundraiser in each of our congregation. We would run a bingo, which was a major fundraiser. And I think we were the only black, maybe Hebrew congregation or organization that was their own, you know, sponsor of that major fundraising activity. Mm-hmm. We were involved in programs within our community. We gained employment, you know, for many years. We had a youth employment program, which we got many of the youth off the street in the summertime. They were involved. We kept very busy. We kept our students very busy because we felt that we kept them busy. This was a way to any kind of, you know, after school activities that weren't good for them. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we were involved in quite a few. We also served on the, I think it was the Passover committee, making sure that all the families, Passover families, doing the Passover. We did extensive traveling. We traveled all over with the Matthews, the Westers, inside of the United States and out of the United States. And kind of lecturing on the relationship of the black people. And that we did for many years, telling the story of our relationship, of our relationship, of the book, and the story that we told. Of course, today we have many other organizations that are now on the scene and also doing very good work. We have Legal Life, the Benicol Academy, myself have been. We have also the Ethiopian Hebrew Rabbinical Council. We also have the seminary where they will also train. We have a council that will review the issues and concerns that appear and develop in our community and its relationship to the community at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I want you to talk more about those two, the council and the Israeli Rabbinical Academy. But a lot of the activities you just described were part of Yahushua's trying to call that Hatzafila. I think you mentioned that briefly in passing, but I wanted to go into a little bit of history of the Hatzafila, and that obviously would have to connect with the ordination. You mentioned that you met earlier. You both came to Grand Cathedral at the same time. So you met Mother Johnson. She invited you, and then you invited
the rabbi.
Who would be to become the rabbi?
The rabbi. Okay. My husband would be on the rabbi.
Tell us a little bit about the process.
Yes, because we both attended the school together. We both studied under the Lord of Masters in the Hebrew College. And that's where we went to college and graduated. After graduating, and Rabbi Johannesson remained here for a while.
First time you invited him to come, after you had come.
After I come, right?
And you liked what you saw.
Okay.
And then, were you married at that time yet?
Yes, we
you
were married.
Already married.
We were already married, yes. We
so
married.
You told him about the synagogue.
Okay.
What was his reaction?
To bring me, and then he'd go home and come back and pick me up again. And I said, while you're doing all that, you might as well come and listen to the story. And he did that, Rabbi. He liked it, and he said, to become the rabbi. Yes, and he did.